I'm Stephanie Overbuck.
I'm Mel Wymore.
And this is Pot of Gold. Do you have the feeling that life is getting harder than ever? Not only do we grapple with big issues like climate change and pandemics, but everyday tasks sometimes seem increasingly complex. But what if a simple shift in perspective could change everything?
In this episode, we're speaking with John Jandai, who not only thinks life is easy, but he thinks he can prove it too. Here's John.
My name is John Jandai. I grew up as a farmer in Thailand, and now I'm doing seed saving project. It's the main aim. And in the same time, when I start to do seed saving project, many people came to visit me, and then they don't want to leave. So it turned to an intentional community. Now we have about 15 to 20 people stay together more than 19 years. So we call ourselves Pan Pan Learning Center and Seed Saving Center, Self-Reliant Learning Center and Seed Saving Center. So that's the main thing that we are doing now. So we do a lot of training and then a lot of activity outside of the farm also, because we want to promote self-reliant system and then promote seed saving, because we think this is the roots of human of life. If we don't have this knowledge, no skill about this, that means we have no roots. When we have no roots, our life will be unstable. We have more fear, more worry, depend on everything outside. So whatever happened anywhere, we will suffer so much. But if we have good roots, we're stable. So that's the idea of work that we are doing now.
John, with seeds, you mean plant seeds?
Yeah, vegetables, food, mainly food.
Okay, so as original as possible, I guess. No genetically modified food.
Yeah, we call indigenous seeds. Because this kind of seed, when people have them, they can save their own seed. After they get seed from us, we give it for free to all people. After they get from us, they don't need to ask again. Because if they get some lettuce seed from us, they plant one bed. And they maybe eat almost all of it, maybe leave only two or three plants in the bed. Let them have flower, have seed. And then they will have seed for the next year. It's more than enough. The seed is too expensive now, close to gold sometimes.
I wish we ran the world that like seeds are gold. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I actually think it's starting. You know, I know corporates like Nestle, for example, are after indigenous seeds. Anyways, I'm not
what to patent them or to
in order that we basically do not lose the DNA. But you know, I prefer that it's on John's hands and your community than a corporate, obviously. Mm.
John, you know, you inspired me by a video I saw of you that was basically the message was life is easy, and you started off by talking about your life history. Could you share a little of that with us?
So I grew up in the rural country. When I was young, everything is not convenient. There's no cars, there's no money. People use money very little at that time. But we feel very happy. I felt very happy. I feel independent. I feel free. When I was 9 years old, I'm the main person who looking for food to feed family. I'm so happy with my life. I feel like my village is like heaven. Until I was 15, when I finished primary school, many people in the class need to move to somewhere else to study. But some of them, including me, cannot go anywhere because we consider poor. Before that, we never think poor. We don't use the word poor in my village. So I don't know what is poor, but we use the word suffering. So when you suffer, that means you don't have enough to eat. You don't have material that you need. You will go get somewhere or ask for help from somebody. You can solve the problem easily. But when we are poor, we need to make money. But it's not easy for farmers or villagers to make money. So that's why we keep being poor. And that time, when we start to have TV came to the village, TV is the first thing that tell us that we are poor too. Before that, we never use it. You don't have car, you don't have TV, you don't have refrigerator. So if you want to be rich, you need to go to Bangkok. And then that's one word of one prime minister at that time. He said that if you're diligent enough, you will not be poor. I think about, I can work harder than normal people because I grew up in the hard area. So I think I will not be poor. I went to Bangkok to work very hard. I never have day off for more than one year. Work many hours, more than 10 hours. But I still poor. I still have nothing to eat, not much to eat. And then not good place to stay. I think about what is the meaning of working hard and then you will have a good life. You will not be poor. I work this much, but I don't have enough. How much more I have to work to be diligent? So 10 hours per day for many years in a row is not enough. So if we develop our life in this way, what is the end of it? Because when I was a kid, nobody worked 8 hours per day. But when I was young, I moved to Bangkok. People work more than 8 hours per day. But when my kids, next generation grew up, how many hours they can sleep in their life? So if we develop our life, the way of living in this way, I don't feel exciting with it at all. I think this is wrong. How can we develop our life to make our life harder and harder, work harder, and less time to rest? That's not the way I want it. So I think about why we don't, when we can make our life more complicated, why we cannot make it easier. Because in the past, it's easy, but now it's harder. That's helped me to make decision easily to move back home, to try to live in a way that make it easy and not complicated. So I spent only 1 year. I discovered that I can grow my own food. I can build my own house. I can do my own daily needs. I make soap, make shampoo, make toothpaste, make everything myself. So it's easy. And I have time to take a nap. Why we don't develop our life in this way? So, and then after that, I think I feel bad when I watch the news and then people's hungry and very poor. And even now we have food crisis in the world. I feel so sad. But why we hungry in the most fertile planet? We hungry in the middle of food. That's something wrong with our thinking. That's what I'm working on now. I want to tell people that food is everywhere. We should not be hungry. We can grow food anywhere if we have soil and water. And we have soil and water everywhere. Even we do not own land, we can use somebody's land to grow, to make food. So that just make me think life is always easy, but we train our mind to make it too complicated. So we think that if we make it complicated, it will be better. But actually, we have less time to take a nap in the daytime.
Yeah, it's so true.
I love a nap. And I love the message. And I have a question about what it means in terms of technology. So we pride ourselves as human beings that we continually advance and improve our lives basically by inventing more sophisticated tools that support life. And these tools are supported by an economic system that has us also need to survive. So it's hard to separate the life from the human nature of developing tools. Do you have thoughts about that when you think about this evolution?
I think developing tools is very important. But the problem now is we did not developing tools to make our life easy. We're developing tools to monopolize resources, to make a lot of money from it. That's why it makes it harder and complicated. We have so much tool in the world now, almost tools that we invented. We think we're going to make our life easy. Now we have car, we have airplane, we have air condition, we have rice cooker, we have everything. But how many minutes we can take a rest in per day? We have more tools just to help us to have more time to work.
So what's the solution? How do we continue to be creative, you know, and follow our instincts, I guess, to make life easier, but then also see the limits of that in terms of how it affects our time?
I think the main thing is we need to develop technology in the appropriate way. Make it simple and easy so anybody can use it. Anybody can have it and have access to it easily. Nobody control it. The thing is very effective. It works very well. One person can plant, can produce a lot of food, but how much resources we invest in that material, in that tools? We did not think the real cost of it, but we think about the result of it, but we did not think the real cost of it. We think we have big tractor, we have airplane to do farming. That's a high technology. That's our successful way of farming. But actually, we consume a lot of resources so fast just to have this. So the way it will make our life easy is we need to make some simple tools, like a just normal engine that people can fix it, can change it easily. Now, many countries, they start to do small tractor from the old motorcycle, from old, some cheap engine, and then they can develop a lot of accessory for the tool to do many things. So this way, they use less resources, and then it worked very well. This part, I feel like, is very important to think about it. Even the technique of farming is the same. Now, we exciting with the big farm. One person can raise 100,000 chickens. We think we are very successful in this technology. We can produce very cheap chicken to feed the world. But actually, the real cost of the chicken is so expensive. But we push the real cost of the chicken to the bird, to the shoulder of farmer, poor people who work hard, who grow food for the chicken, poor worker. So that's cost poverty. That's cost resources shortage very fast. But we did not think about that cost. So most of technology that we have now, it looked like we are very successful. We are very progress about it. But actually, it ruined another side of our life. And then it feeds one side of our life. I think if we come back to think in this way, think about the real cause of everything we do, we will see a different picture. We will do different way of developing.
You're basically describing a vicious cycle, whether this is caused by the feeling that you're not good enough, or you said the convenience, then the desire to get more, or to desire to get out of poverty and get more, or like progress. Yeah, there are a lot of words or a lot of entry points, sort of say, in this sort of endless vicious cycle. And when your personal story, when you were then in Bangkok, I think you studied, you became, I think, an engineer.
I studied law.
Oh, law. Sorry. but you study, you were practicing in Bangkok. So there must have been a moment where you there was like a switch for you. Something happened. Can you describe that moment? What switched for you? What made you leave that cycle and return to your village?
When I studied in university, I thought about what we are learning now is not help to make us happy. We learn the technique, how to make money mainly, but we did not learn how to live. I learned law. I study law. So the main idea is just to be a lawyer. Lawyer just to work. Mainly people who work as a lawyer, they did not help people much. They just help people who make mistakes free. That's the successful life. If you study agriculture, that you learn how to use chemical, how to learn about the chemical from the company. And after you finish, you can be the agency of the company. You can learn how to monopolize seed, to do things like that. Mainly, I feel like this kind of knowledge this knowledge was used in the way that it should be. They use knowledge to serve our greed so much. So we did not use it in the way that help us to make our life easy or happy. So, but the knowledge that make our life happy is not a lot. We learn so much, but we did not use it much. So I think about There's so much knowledge outside of the system. You don't need to pay for it. It's not boring if you learn outside. So I decided to quit university in the third year. After the exam, I just quit it. I don't even go look at the result of the exam. I went to the country and then start to learn how to live by myself, how to grow things, how to make daily needs that I use every day. I feel I study so much, but I don't know how to make soap. I don't know how to make shampoo. But I bought a bottle of shampoo. It costs so much money. But when I learn how to make shampoo, I spend a few dollars. I have shampoo to use 2 years, the whole family. And then it's no bottle. Why we have to pay so much for shampoo? So I feel more exciting, more fun to learn about this outside of the education system.
Yeah, well, it's clear you have kind of an interesting perspective. When you talk about thinking about the cost of things, you have to have a systems perspective, because when you invent something, it's not obvious what the cost of that will be until it's in practice, many, many years later sometimes. And other people are taking advantage of that invention, so they don't have to grow their own food or make their own shampoo, so they can do something else. So in my mind, the education system is designed for us to not all do the same thing, but to do different things and trade our talents with each other to make the best life possible for everyone. But there is this other side of the coin that you're talking about, which is the way we do that is by exchanging through money, and then ultimately there's some disparity in that equation. So we don't, it's not even all the time, right? Some people win and some people lose the money game. And that's kind of a unfortunate side effect of everyone being able to choose what they like to do best, right? And advance humanity that way. So it's a very complex question that you're talking about. It's not so simple, I don't think. You know, I don't think everyone can go and, you know, plant their vegetables in the garden and make their own soap. But you do point to some very important points, and that is, you know, how do we modulate our tendency as humans to kind of leverage everything, as you know, like leverage every point of advantage that we have.
Actually, I did not refuse the technology, the education that we have now. But the one point that I can see in my life is we jump across the most important step of our life. I think the education system in the first 15 years, we need to learn how to be self-reliant. We need to learn how to grow food. We need to learn how to cook food. We need to learn what is edible. We need to learn how to make our own shelter, how to build houses, how to build things. We need to learn how to make daily needs. Soap, shampoo, sauce, any kind of sauce, anything that we use every day, learn about it. And the fourth thing is learn about self-healing. What technique can we help ourselves in the basic sickness, not complicating? So to learn these four basic needs, it doesn't take so long. 1 or 2 years, you learn the whole thing. We're teaching how to do how build a house. In 7 days, people can build their own house easily with dirt, with mud. So if we have the skill on the four basic needs, we have stable life, and then we can feel free. We have less fear. We can live anywhere. And then you can study anything after that. You can go learn to be astronaut. You can be a programmer. You can be business. You can be anything. There's no problem. But now we did not have a base. We do not have a good root. We will learn to be a surgeon. You very talented surgery, but you did not know how to do things at all. One day when economics collapse, one day when we have war, one day when we have some crisis thing happen, you don't know how to live anymore. So I think the most important thing is we need to build up our roots to be able to rely on ourselves in the four basic needs first. And then you can learn anything.
Well, and they need to learn how to live. They need to learn how to live,
so
as you said.
The four basic needs are food,
shelter,
health, shelter,
food, shelter, daily needs, and healing.
I would like to add non-violent communication skills.
I guess for me, the perspective that you talk about in terms of costs means you also must have some perspective on community. One of the basic needs is how do I and my work or my farming or my pursuit of my health affect everyone else's? Because if we can't look at that fifth need, which is kind of more of a communal or global part of ourselves, then we really aren't able to do the things you're talking about, have the kind of thinking you're talking about.
Normally, when we have skill to be able to rely on ourselves in the four basic needs, we will have more than we need. And then in the same time, when we know that we can find food anywhere, we can produce food anywhere, we have less worry, less fear. When we have less worry, less fear, we don't want to own a lot. We don't want to hold a lot of resource in ourselves. So we will share, we will give. We will think about fun by automatic. Fun means to be with other people. When we have enough, the next thing we will think about is love, communities, care, and fun. That's the way it is in natural way. But when you don't have enough, you have more fear. You want to own more. Like now, the system tried to disconnect people from each other. They don't want us to feel like we connect to other people. So we think about ourselves only. We don't know how to grow food. We don't know anything. We just worry if the economy collapse, if the money collapse, how can I survive? If a war happened, how can I survive? When I'm getting old, who will take care of me? That's why everybody try to save a lot of money, save money, save money. But when every save a lot of money, that means you draw money from other people. You draw the resources that other people can use. Change the resources into money. So when everybody want to save money, but they did not save the resources, that create the big problem in the world. People cannot, they did not learn how to be together anymore because everybody have to fight, have to compete, have to take more. So we don't have skill to be together. That's why now it at our farm at Pan Pan Communities, we don't have problem with people to live together because nobody own anything there. Everybody own everything together. No privacy, no private thing much there. So people have more, they feel more secure because even they have no money, but then they're so happy that not many people want to leave from our community. So many people want to come. We have to limit the number of members. We don't want it to be more than 20 people. It will be too big. We don't want it to be too big. We want it to be small and be easy. So this is something that I feel like people, when we have enough, we will start community by ourselves. When we have enough, we have less fear, less worry. We have time to think about happiness, to have time to think about fun. But when we don't have enough, we have a lot of worry. So we don't have time to think about happiness. We just think about how to make money, how to pay off debt, how to buy this, how to buy that. So what is the meaning of our life? We did not think about it because we don't have time to think. We have time to work. That's the main thing. That's the problem we have now. So community and social life will come later when we have enough.
You describe the dilemma of the commons actually in a really nice and beautiful way. You know, this big conundrum why, you know, within our money system, this community kind of actually doesn't work and why so many people, I think, feel separated and or in this rush of trying to secure their life. And I think it's really, really dominant in our world, in the Western world, at least, you know. Exactly fears you described, no? The fear to get older. I mean, how ridiculous is it? You've worked the entire life and you shouldn't be fearful of getting older or that you have nobody to care, that nobody cares for you. And then the solution is an old people's home. Like how, you know, who designed this? And anyways, and then... And then there's a solution, what I just heard from you, John, is sounds a little bit socialist. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I personally don't mind. But I think having no privacy, or what you said, or no, is it also no private property, I guess, that would be, that is another huge fear factor for a lot of people in the West, right? They would not buy into this. Or can you describe this a little bit more? Or what do you exactly mean by not having? Is it like a communist system, or
actually, it can be like communist system, but it's different because communist is dictatorship. But we have no leader, no rules. 20 people live together with no leader, no rules. So it's like a big family. In the past, big family, they just live like this. The money even go to community fund, even to the family. So when we have income, have money, it will come to community fund. Everybody can use it. And we have no leader, because if we have leader, all the problem will go to the leader. But if we have no leader, everybody will be leader. They know how to solve the problem, they know how to do things. So before that, in some place, in some community, some organization, when they have leader, when the light have problem, the light bulbs broke, they will go tell the leader. But when we have no leader, they will think about how to solve it. They change it. So it helps people to be themselves. They can be whatever they want. And when we have no rules, people develop common sense. When we have a lot of rules, people will rely on rules. Like I heard in the news long time ago that people walk on the street in California and then they kick the root, they stick up on the path, So they sue the city because they did not cut the root off. So that's, they rely on the rules, but they don't use common sense. But for us, we don't have rules. We never say that don't smoke cigarette. But everybody, if they want to smoke cigarette, they will walk away very far and then smoke. And then when they're done, they come back. They don't smoke cigarette in the middle of people. We don't have rules about drinking. Instead of have rules, we teach how to make wine, how to make whiskey, how to make things. But nobody become drug addict, become alcoholic there. They just drink a little bit. When it's time to rest, they will take a rest. When the time that people go to sleep, they will stop. So it seems like when we have no rules, people use more common sense. They know what to do. They think about other people more. So trust in people. I think that's the most important thing.
Well, basically, you are talking about accountability, responsibility, shared responsibility for the entire community. You said you're 20 people, right? Yeah.
Yeah. During COVID, we have 15 because many people went somewhere and then they cannot come back in time.
Right. And so what's your thought on how big that group or that community can be with these, let's say, non-rules?
20 people is the best. We try to not bigger than that. Because if it's bigger than that, we need to manage it. We need to have a meeting. So that's why we don't want it to be big. We want it to be many, many communities everywhere. To be a small community, you can create a new thing. You can invent new technique, new thing, new knowledge, new experiment. That is very important. So to be big, if it collapse, it just disappear, it collapse. But if we have many small things, it's better. And we found that if it's too big, it's hard about communication.
Bangkok is one of the metropolitan cities in the world, right? With, I guess, more than 10 million people, I think, live in Bangkok. I'm not quite sure now how many people live in Thailand, but for sure there has been a lot of rush from the rural areas towards the urban areas, as happens worldwide. Do you see this concept of yours? What's your experience? What you are building up with Punpun Village, right? It's called, as a concept for more people?
For more people?
Especially for urban environments.
For urban people, for more people, like let's say Thailand, is this a vision you're proposing to Thailand, or you're like walking the talk, showing people how to do this, and hey, life can be easy? Yours too.
I think about the concept of community is it's good to have many communities. And then each community can come together as a community over community again. So in that way, it will create more space, create more freedom. Because whenever if you come together too big, it will monopolize thinking, monopolize activity, monopolize the whole thing. But when it's small, it's spreading the chance of people to do more things, to do more experiment, to create more new leader. So big is not good for me. Small is good. Small, many is good. But when you live in this way, if you have the same direction of thinking, people will come together by themselves. Don't need to try to organize it. It will come because people who think the same thing, do the same thing, they always draw themselves together in natural way. So I don't think we don't need to waste our time to organize the group, the network, or things like that much. It will come whenever we do what we love. The main thing is we have to do what we love.
Shall we come full circle and get back to seeds in the final question? You know, you opened up saying you have a seed cooperative, essentially, or a way of sharing seeds. And in this episode, we've mostly talked about your community and sharing that as a seed for new communities to start around the world. And I just wanted to ask if you feel like this is a model and you see a vision in the future of this growing like a seed everywhere on the planet.
I think what we are doing now is, I don't think it's a model, but I think about it's just one choice that we can create for ourselves. Anywhere, any people can do anything different. Don't need to do like us, but we need to find a solution. We need to find a new way of living because the way that we are living now is going to the dead end soon. Because we work so much, we're so tired, we're so depressed. Why we need to be with it? When we have choice, when we have chance to do new thing. So just open ourselves to do something different. That's the main thing. So I don't think it can be a model for everywhere because people are different culture, different thinking, different country, different way. So you need to create some new thing. Don't need to make it the same. That's the main thing. Just want to tell people that we have freedom to create whatever we want to be, whatever we want to do. Don't be with suffering. It's not fun. Why we have to be with suffering?
So, John, life is easy, Mel, is it?
I think life is easy. Actually, I think life is fun. But I do see that we get, you know, we get twisted up sometimes in our own kind of reality and get lost. And I think a lot of that reality comes from the systems that we've designed that just keep us pedaling along the rat race.
Yeah, John is putting his things actually in quite a few issues, which are daily topics for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this, we all know, yeah, life should be happy and, you know, we are should pursuing happiness. And then what exactly does that mean? On a daily basis. I love that he has found a very practical path and for his own life.
Yeah.
And not going around teaching, preaching. And
yeah. That's two things I really enjoy about John. One is I love this idea, regardless of what context we put it in, of teaching basic survival to young kids for a couple of years, whether that's survival in a city or survival in the country or survive, just how do you get your own food and shelter? You know, what's involved in basic survival? And I do think that's a freeing thing when people have that. You know,
I think they do that in Australia, if I'm not completely mistaken.
I don't know, but it's a really great idea because then you can add on top of that the layer of money, the layer of economics, the layer of higher education, and you still always have, hey, I'm going to survive regardless.
Right. I couldn't actually kill a chicken
But that would be part of the education, I believe. And if you can't kill a chicken, then how do you grow enough protein to survive? And I think those are really cool things.
We just learned that in the other episode, actually. Yeah.
But the second thing I love about John is that he does say, you know, just be creative, question systems. My way is one way, but you have to come up with your own way. And I think that's also fundamentally unique. You know, he's not saying what he's saying is a panacea for everyone. It worked for him, but he's sharing it, and that's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I agree very much. But at the same time, and there's not a big but there is a bit of a but that we do have billions of people on this planet. And yes, we have to find alternative lifestyles, and in the modern world and throughout the world, and okay, there will be climate change. It is coming, and so we're gonna be forced into the dealing with the way we live, with this convenient way, as John puts it. Yeah, we will adjust. There is no doubt about it. Will we all live in groups of 20 people? I doubt it. You know, but again, you know, he doesn't actually criticize it. You know, everyone has to find its own way. Very intrigued about the non-rule thing, which is, I think, is sort of not a very Western approach to creating.
I'm not even sure it's a very Eastern approach either. I think the rules have evolved as a way of managing large groups of people, right? And so it's an experiment. I love that he's experimenting, but I do question kind of the universality. It's kind of almost starting over from scratch, and there might be something really great to discover in that, but not necessarily the practical solution for everyone.
Right. I mean, we have interviewed, for example, Declan Kennedy, who's also co-founder or co-president of this Global Eco Village Network, right, where all over the world, we find more and more eco-villages, like basic groups of people coming together and trying out a new kind of different lifestyle. There is, however, a couple of points, like what does you qualify as an eco-village? I think, you know, we need to double check that again. Anyways, it's just that when I think of our mega metropolises worldwide and let's just regroup everything in 20s. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't know. But I do love, even in a big city, there's probably stuff to question.
We are an independent, listener-supported podcast.
Brought to you by Game Changers, www.gamechangers.world. For the price of one latte per month, you can help fuel our work and keep our content untainted by commercial interests.
For more exclusive content, join us on patreon.com or click donate on potofgold.world.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul. I'm Mel Wymore.
And I'm Stephanie Overbeck.
Thanks for listening.